Pray. Pray with me, if you will. Father, we thank you. We love you once again. Help us tonight as we open the Word of God to see what you would have for us. God, to see what you would give to us from thy Word. God, help us to have open hearts. Help us, God, to have an alert mind that we'll receive from the Holy Spirit of God the things that we need in our Christian lives. Lord, bless. Help me to speak. Help me to preach. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn me in God's Word to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're going to be talking about something serious tonight. And I believe this is exactly what's going to take place this coming week. You'll see what I'm talking about as we get into the message tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're going to just read one verse for our text. And then, of course, we'll read on in the Word of God to see what else the Bible has for us. I will tell you this. You can listen to any preacher. He could take one verse out of the Bible and prove anything he wants to prove. He can take one verse out of the Bible and prove to you that it's all right to hang yourself. But if you got to hang yourself, you're a bigger fool than you should be. My friend, you have to have the verses in context. You have to have the verses in the order to come in the Word of God to see what God's speaking to us about. Let's look here, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And let's look in verse 26, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "Behold, I've set before you this day a blessing and a curse." Here God is talking to his people. And I want to tell you, God has always had people to talk to. He's talked to his people, the Israels. He talked to the Jews. He's talked to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember the Bible says the voice of God come walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? God has always had a people to refer his word to. And we're living in a dispensation of the church age. We're living in a dispensation of grace. Some people have a problem with that. God has always dealt in grace. God has always been gracious. But right now, God's dealing with a church, a New Testament church, a called-out assembly, a local assembly. Tonight, my friend, when I say the church, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about us that are saved by God's amazing grace. I'm talking about all the people in the world that claim themselves to be Christians who's been born again. But we can narrow it down. We can say that God is dealing with open door. And tonight, if you're a member of this church, if you're here tonight, you're part of this church, God is speaking to us as individuals. Many times as the preacher preaches, we believe he's speaking to the whole church. But God deals with individuals. God deals with each and every one of us on an individual basis. Let's look here, if you would, in verse 26. "Behold, here God is speaking. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." Let me read to you what's going on. It says, you don't have to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." Here's what God says. He said, on one hand is life and good. On the other hand is death and evil. He said, I've got you between a blessing and a curse. And my friend, like Joseph, he said, "I'll choose you this day whom you will serve, the gods of your father on the other side of Jordan. But for as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You're going to have to make a choice today if you're going to choose between a blessing and a curse. God's got us between a blessing and a curse. Look here, if you would, in verse 27. The Bible says, "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God has brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and a curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwelleth in the champion over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moor? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. And ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day." Here God is speaking to his people. He said, today I give you a blessing and a curse. We'd be foolish to say I want a curse from God. I want God to curse my life. I want God to curse my family. I want God to curse what my hands touch. We want Psalms 1. I wish we'd get our young people up here to quote Psalms 1 for you. They can quote every word in the verses. But he said, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. He said, whatever your hands shall touch shall prosper. Boy, we want the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God as I preach. I want the blessings of God as I live. But we had two people here this morning, and they're part of my life. He said, how's that, preacher? I go to school with one of them. She's in a class that I'm in school with. The other one works at Walmart. We see almost on a daily basis. We go to Walmart almost every day. We see them. We talk to them. I told them many times, come to church, come to church, come to church. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to save you. Just real quick, he's working. Don't want to steal his time from the company, so real quick, we'll give him a gospel tract and invite him to church, tell him about Jesus, and hope to see him. The day is clocking out, going home, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I told my boss man that the man has told me to be in church. And I looked at him, I said, what are you saying? He said, I told my boss, man, I need a Sunday off. He said, I'm going to see you in church one day. I talked to his girlfriend that goes to school with me. And she said, we're going to come to church one day. We're going to surprise you. I'm glad they was here. I'm glad they listened to the preacher was here. I want God's blessing on my life as I stand before them and preach that they'll see that, hey, he's living what God has caused him to live, what God has called him to live for. I want the blessings of God in my family. I want the blessings of God on my home. I want the blessings of God in our church. Well, you don't know how many times we pray for the church and pray for the people, not the building, but the people. And we pray for your sickness. We pray for your hurting. We pray for your trouble that you're in. We just pray and ask God to bless you and ask God to help you. Here, God says today, you're set between a blessing and a curse. He said, a blessing is on this mountain and a curse is on this mountain. And you're right smack dab in the middle. And he said, you're going to have to choose a side, which side of the mountain you're going to climb up. Are you going to climb up the side where the blessings is on? Or are you going to just live on the side where the cursings is on? It says here, if you would, in verse 29, the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. He said, you're right between a blessing and a curse. Well, how many of us want God's blessing in our lives? I know I do. We got a week approaching starting Monday. Starting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. In fact, it's already started. It's been taking place for 2 months. Hope you've been praying, searching for God, asking God's help. How much are you going to get down right where the rubber meets the road tonight and tell you exactly what's going on if you don't understand? This week that's approaching our Christian life at Open Door Baptist Church is a middle mark. We're between something. God, my friend, if you have not seen, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you from the pulpit, God is trying to do something at Open Door. He's trying to do something that maybe started years ago. I don't know. He's trying to do something that maybe we've never seen before. He's trying to build our faith up. He's trying to encourage us to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep going forward for Jesus. He's trying to give us more faith in Him that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. And right now, this week approaching, we're right in the middle of a blessing and a curse. And if we follow God's command and do what God wants us to do, then we'll receive the blessings of God. If we don't do what God wants us to do, then we're going to just stay a church that don't have God's blessings, that don't have God's prosper, that don't have God's touch upon it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of a dead church. I don't want to be a part. Ms. Foxworth told me, and you can take this for whatever you want to. I don't know why. She said every 3 years that one of her sister plans a family reunion. I said, well, sister, that's good. I said, there's nothing wrong with the family reunion. She said, yeah, but they have it in the cemetery. I said, cemetery? She said, yeah, we've got some people that died, and they want them to celebrate in the family reunion, so we go to the cemetery and have our family reunion. She said, I don't stay long. I said, I don't blame you. Eat your hot dog, drink your pink lemonade, and go home. I don't want to be a part of nothing that's dead. I don't want to have nothing dead in my life. I don't want to be a part of a dead church. And God says right now he's stuck us right in the middle between a blessing and a curse. And if we'll do what God wants, then my friend, He'll bless us. He has no other opportunities. He has no other obligations. He has no other choice but to bless us if we do what the Bible tells us to do. You know what we tell our children? You clean your room, we'll give you some money. If they clean their room, we're obligated to give them some money. We're obligated to give them some money. Well, me and my wife got married. We talked about this today. I talked about selling my chickens. I've got some chickens. We've almost had them for about 6 months. She says, you've always done that. You've always got involved in something. You've got serious about something. And as soon as you get tired of it, you give it away. I said, oh, honey, I hope that don't happen to you. You know what she said? She said, well, you can't do it. She said, you can't do it. You can't get rid of me. No matter how tired you get, you can't get rid of me. I've made an obligation. When I told my wife, I do, I made an obligation to God that I'm going to do the very best I can to be the husband she deserves to have. Well, she said, I do. That's exactly what she said. She said, I do. I'm going to be your wife. I'm going to be the best wife you can. We made a covenant with God that we're going to stay together for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, for good health or bad health. We're going to stay together under God's grace and God's love. Here, God says, if you'll do what I'm going to ask you to do, I have no other choice but to bless you. Don't you want God's blessing? But he said, if you don't do what I ask you to do, then I'm going to curse you. I'm going to give you something that you don't want. He said, a blessing is on this side, church, and a curse is on this side. Right now, this coming week, we're right here in the middle. And if we get on board and we get involved, well, my friend, I believe God's going to bless. I was reading Exodus chapter 33. Now, I wasn't going to preach on it. I was just reading it for myself. And I thought about Moses. But Moses wanted to see the goodness of God. Moses wanted to see the very face of God. You know what God told Moses to do? He said, Moses, I want you to get out of the camp of Israel. Get out of the camp that you're in. Go outside the camp walls and build a tabernacle there. And there I will dwell in the tabernacle. So you know what Moses done? Moses built a tabernacle. Moses built a place for God to dwell. Not saying that we can encamp God in a building, but God just happens to show up in a building where his people's at. Moses erected a tabernacle outside the camp, and he told the whole congregation, he said, hey, if you want the presence of God in your life, you have to go to the tabernacle. That's where God's at. That's where God's going to meet with us. That's where God dwells. That's where God's hand is. If you want God in your life, you're going to have to go to the tabernacle. Moses got up, got dressed. He started walking down the street to the tabernacle. The Bible says that all those arose up out of the house and stood in the door to watch Moses leave. I've understood this by reading that sometimes when you want God's presence in your life, not everybody's going to follow. If you want God's blessing in your life, not everyone's going to get on board. When God tells the church to do something, not everyone is going to be excited about it. Not everyone is going to have the vision that God gives the man of God. Not everyone is going to get on board and say, preacher, we believe this is what God would have us to do. Moses went there. And the Bible says that God talked to Moses as a friend, face to face. Moses said, Lord, I want to see your goodness. And the Lord said, Moses, I put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you with my hand, and as I walk past you, I'll remove my hand so you can see my back parts. If you want to see God's goodness, you're going to have to look at God. It's not what God does for us in our lives. It's not the sickness that God takes away. It's not the money that God puts in our pocketbooks and wallets. It's not the houses we live in. If you want to see God's goodness, you're going to have to see God for who he is. Because God is good. God is good to his people. Surely, the Bible says in Psalms, surely God is good to his people. He's been good to us. Not anyone, except one person, followed Moses to the tabernacle. Moses went there with one other person all by himself. God says you're stuck between a blessing and a curse, and you're going to have to choose which one you want. This week coming, my friend, we can get on board. I realize not everyone's going to get on board. So many people, and I hate to say this. I hate to say it so blunt as it's about to come out of my mouth. But so many people are set in their ways. They won't change for God Almighty himself. If Jesus Christ come down here and mounted this pulpit and preached into this mic and said, hey, I want you to go soul winning, some of them will still believe it's the preacher's job and not your job and sit right there until you die and take your last breath. Some of us are so set in our ways that we're not going to budge off of our derrieres to do one thing for God. But if one or two people will say, hey, God's talking to me, I want a blessing. 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 I'm going to do what God says because I want the blessings. Hey, if you'll get on board, I believe God can bless you. I believe God can bless your family. I believe God can bless this church. God has already blessed us. God wants us to move forward. God's provided a way for us to move forward. He said, I'm going to stick you between a blessing and a curse. If you'll do what I say to do, I'll bless you beyond measure. Bless you beyond measure. He said, there's no limitations what God can do. As they was fighting in a war, Abram said, hey, he said, there's too many of them. We're outnumbered. We can't fight them. We can't defend ourselves. And the man of God says, God's not limited. God can save by many or by few. It don't take many folks. It just takes a few folks that's going to sell out to God and say, God, I'll do whatever it takes to get your blessings. What do we need to do? Turn over, if you will. And look at verse 22. There's four things we need to do. And then we see four things God said He'll do. Here in verse 22, the Bible says, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I commend you, the word diligently means with painstaking effort. Anybody ever planted a garden? Boy, you reap the rewards. Don't raise your hand, honey. You reap the rewards. We plant a garden. She does help. She tells me where to put it. She tells me how deep to plant it. She tells me when to pick the grass and to harvest the tomatoes. But if you plant a garden, you reap the rewards. We planted some tomatoes last year. The tomato plants grew about 7 foot tall. Probably some of the best tomatoes I've ate in a long time. We reaped a good harvest of tomatoes for some reason. Well, I remember slicing a tomato, and it covers a whole piece of bread. Remember, you slap a piece of tomato on there with some mayonnaise and salt and pepper and a little bit of ham or a little bit of turkey, and man, it just covers the whole slice of bread. Boy, it was wonderful reaping the blessings. But I'm going to tell you something. We had to have some painstaking efforts to get what we received. He said here, he says, if you'll keep my commandments diligently, it's not just when it's convenient, it's not just when it's applicable, but it's every day of our lives we need to keep God's commandments. Listen to what he says. Notice what he says. He says, if you diligently keep all the commandments of which I command you to do them. The first thing we need to do is do what God's Word tells us to do. Hey, that's just plain and simple. Hey, you don't have to be so great a philosopher or any Bible student to know that when God says, this is what I want you to do, that's what He wants you to do. I tell our children, clean your room. I don't mean to go outside and play basketball. I mean to clean your room. I sit down tonight and my wife says, what do you want to eat? And I said, a good old meatloaf with some mashed potatoes. And a corn on the cob. She said, what do you want to eat? I said, meatloaf and mashed potatoes and corn on the cob. I don't mean I want a hamburger. I don't mean I want pizza. I mean I want a meatloaf and mashed potatoes and corn on the cob. God says, I'm going to give you some commands, and they're going to be so clear, a little child can understand them. A little child. And by the way, if you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Ghost. He'll lead you and guide you in all truths. He'll let you know what the Bible says. You said, preacher, how do I get the blessings to do what God says to do? Look what it says in verse 22. It says to do them and to love the Lord your God. The second thing we need to do is to love God. Love God. Do His commandments and love God. Do His commandments even when it's not convenient, even when it's not to our best interest. It's always to our best interest, but maybe we have to leave our families or maybe we have to get out in the rain or maybe we have to lose a little bit of sleep. But we do God's commandments and we love God in doing His commandments. To do them. To love the Lord your God. To walk in all His ways. Which way is God wanting us to walk in? In holiness. In righteousness, in His love, in the Word of God. Is it hard? I heard a message the other day. Can you live a holy life? Is it possible to live a holy life? If you love God enough, it is. To love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to cleave unto Him. Friend, He's not asking too much. Brandon, He's not asking too much. When He says to keep my commandments, to do them, to love me, to walk in my ways, to cleave unto me, He's not asking too much, is he? He says, all I've done to you so far is just saved your unworthy soul from hell. All I've ever done for you is blessed you and your family and provided for you, met every need you ever had, and took care of you when you were sick and fed you when you was poor and met your needs every day of your life. He said, all I've ever done for you was give my son, Jesus Christ, to die on old rugged cross. He died for you and died as you on the cross of Calvary so you don't have to die and go to hell. You can be set free from sin and go to heaven. He says, all I've ever done to you is just love you, and all I want you to do for me is just keep my commandments, to walk in my statutes, to cleave unto me and to love me with all your heart. These are just four things God says he wants us to do if we want his blessings. You want God's blessings? Well, love them. You want God's blessings? Then walk in his statutes. You want God's blessings? Do his commandments. If you want God's blessings, my friend, hey, just cleave unto the Lord. Just grab a hold unto the Lord and hold on. Don't hold on for salvation, but hold on because you love him. Because you love him. Just hold on. Cleave unto him. Do his commandments. Walk in his statutes. And love him with all your heart. Hey, he says, if you'll do these four things, here's what I'll do for you. Look in verse 23. Then, notice that word then. He says, when you get what you should do first done, then will the Lord drive out all the nations from before you. You've got a problem today? God says, if you'll love me, I can fix it. Now, not everybody in the Bible got healed. I'm not going to be one of these preachers to stand up here and say, if you've got a problem, you've got enough of faith, if you pray about it, God can heal you. Because Jesus Christ himself didn't heal everybody that was sick in his time. There's still some people who died because of sickness, who died because of a disease, died because of trouble in their life. Hey, God can heal you, though. And God can fix the problems. And God can take care of you. He said, if you'll do these four things, he said, I'll drive out all the nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. God says, if you'll love me, keep my commandments, walk in my statutes, cleave upon me, I'll take care of all your enemies, and you'll be greater than you've ever been before. Boy, that's something. Ain't that something? You'll be greater than you've ever been before. I'm not talking about a bigger church building. I'm talking about, my friend, have God's power upon our lives to see souls saved. I'm talking about have a choir who sings for God's glory, and God blesses them. And every time you hear them, it just melts your heart, and you thank God you're saved. I'm talking about a group of young people who's going to grow up in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing, Bible-reading, Bible-trusting church that's going to grow up, my friend, believing the Word of God. We had a couple leave today. It's kin to some family in here. He shook my hand and said, preacher, I want to appreciate you preaching that message this morning. He didn't say it was a good message. He didn't say it was a terrible message. He said, preacher, what you preached this morning is what everybody needs to hear, that hell is still real. And I said, just making a smart comment. I said, don't every preacher preach that way? He said, not by a long shot. He said, what you've got here is unique. Don't you want to have something unique? You want it just to be any kind of old fly-by-night thing that just jumps on every bandwagon that comes along? Hey, if it sounds good, just do it. If it looks good, just do it. Hey, I want to do what God's Word says to do because I want the blessings of God. He says, if you'll keep my commandments and cleave unto me and walk in my statutes and love me, I'll drive out all the nations before thee. He said, I'll make you greater than you've ever been before, than any nation that you ever encountered. And notice what it says in verse 24. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Now, I don't mean that for possession. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if you can go to any house within a 5-mile area of this church, and they say, I'll go to Open Door? Wouldn't it be great if we go down and we could point house after house after house and say, hey, them people got saved because a church member visited them and led them to the Lord? Wouldn't it be great, my friend, if we can run buses all the way from Marion to Mullins to Nichols to Dillon to Ladder to Darlington, all the surrounding places, and pick up people just to come to church here to hear the Word of God because we got something unique in the Lord. He said, here, if you'll follow me, if you'll love me, he said, I make all your enemies gone. He said, I make you greater than you ever be before, and I give you land to possess. Any place your foot go. Wouldn't it be great church tonight to know that tomorrow night you can go to somebody's house, knock on their door, ask them if you can come in and share the word of God with them, and they'll get saved. I heard Curtis Hutton say this on a cassette tape. He said, when I witness to somebody, he says, listen, he said, when I witness to somebody, he said, I'm surprised if they don't get saved. I'm surprised if they do get saved. I fumble with the words and forget my verses I'm going to say. I go through the Bible. Sometimes it's upside down. Sometimes it's backwards. Sometimes I hand them wrong gospel tracts. I'm surprised when I witness at all that anybody gets saved. But Curtis Hutchinson said, I'm surprised if they don't get saved. Wouldn't it be great to know that you can knock on somebody's door and you have the blessing, the power of God upon you, that when you witness to them, that they get saved? How many people will go to somebody's house tonight? Do you know if they would get saved tonight? Whoever's house you go to and knock on their door, how many people would you love to see saved tonight? And all you have to do is knock on their door, give them a gospel tract and witness to them, and by God's grace, you know they would get saved. I could think of 100 people right now. I would leave this church. I wouldn't quit preaching. I would just slam my Bible shut. I would get in my truck and go to their house and tell them about Jesus Christ because I want them to see him saved. I've got a sister. Made a profession of faith 2 or 3 times. She's no more saved than the man on the moon. She's living a life that's against God. I love to see her get saved. I love to see her give her life to the Lord and have God to change her life. God says if you want a blessing, he'll give you land to possess. Look here in verse 25, the Bible says, There shall no man be able to stand before thee. We've been trying to get into public schools. I tell you this, we're close here in about 5 minutes. I've been trying to get into a public school to preach the gospel to young boys and girls. I've been trying for what, the past 2 or 3 years? Trying to get into junior high school. Brother Jeff has got an interest in it. He's been trying for the past year to get into a public high school, a public junior high school. We've been trying to get the gospel out. And every time the door's been shut, the door's been shut, the door's been shut. We make a little advance and the door's shut. We get a little bit further, the door's shut. But God's provided a way. If we just have faith in God, where no matter what the school says, the doors has to be opened for us to get in. And have a Bible club, have a Bible class, give literature out, give Bibles out. God's provided a way. We've been praying now for 2 or 3 years that God would help us to get into the junior high and high schools and give Bible, give the Word of God out, give Bible classes out. And God has provided a way for us to do that. Lord willing, it'll take place next year. The Bible says this for us in verse 25, there shall no man be able to stand before you. Wouldn't it be great for God to put something in our hearts and we just go to it because God's called us to do it and no man's going to be able to stand in front of us and stop us? It's amazing with this tabernacle. Hey, we're going to have to get a licensed contractor. You know how much that would cost? You know how much that would cost to have a licensed contractor out here to help us build this tabernacle to show us how we should do things? You know how much that would cost to have to get on insurance on the people who's going to build the tabernacle in case they get hurt, they can't sue the church? But God's opened a door. God's provided a way. God's made a way for us to get around all that expensive stuff just to do what God's called us to do. Here, God says, I set before you a blessing and a curse. And if you'll do what I want you to do, I'll bless you. Notice what else the Bible says. Look here, if you would, in verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. You know what the blessings are. You know what the commandments are. But notice the curse. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Here's what God's saying to us, church. Here's what God is saying. This coming week, I'm making a big deal out of it. I hope everybody can hear me. I'm making a big deal out of this coming week because we're right in the middle of a blessing and a curse. If we'll do what God's called us to do, I believe he'll bless us. I believe people get saved. I believe your family gets saved. I don't want to call their name out. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But a lady asked me in this church, I remember she asked me in the fellowship hall, she was in the kitchen behind the counter. She said, "Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I've got a son. I wonder if you'll visit him." I said, "Sure. Give me his name, give me his address, tell me where he lives, and I'll go to visit him." She wrote down on a piece of paper his name and where he lives and that he gets home about 6 o'clock in the evening. And we went to go try to go find his house, couldn't find it. Went to go find his house, couldn't find it. Pretty soon we was able to find his house. We went to his house. Me and another church member went to his house. We talked to him. He said he was saved. He said he just got away from God and he wants to get back close to God. He wants to get back in church. We told him that at Tuesday night. I said, "Hey, won't you come to church this Sunday? Would you come to church this Sunday?" Well, what did he say? He said, "You might see me there." Or he said, "I might try to come," or "I might be there." He didn't give us a definite promise, but I believe he said, "I might be there." Well, he's been coming ever since. Not only that, but his other brother and his wife has been coming ever since. And not only that, but his other brother has been coming ever since. I'm just telling you, hey, if you'll just do what God wants you to do, if you'll be faithful to God, if you'll love God and keep His commandments, God will make sure that He blesses you beyond measure. Now, I visited them. Not brag on me. Now, bragging with Brother Robert, we went together. Hey, to get to this man's house, we had to go through a graveyard. Scared me to death. Yeah, Brother Mike, scared me to death. I sure didn't hit no brakes. I kept on going. We went through the graveyard. We drove through the parking lot of a store to get this man's house. I had no idea. We don't know how many laws we broke that night. Where was we at, Brother Robert? What town was that? Lakeview. Lord have mercy, Lakeview. Broke laws. Went to this man's house, stood outside, it was cold, talked to him, invited him to church. He's been coming ever since. His brother's been coming ever since. His other brother been coming ever since. Mom and Daddy said, "I'm so proud of what God's doing. I'm loving every Sunday." Now, because of us doing that, don't you think God's going to do something for us? I bet your bottom dollar He will. You say, "What will He do?" Well, He'll probably keep me from getting sick. Well, I should have got sick. He'll probably keep our truck and our van running longer than it should have been running. He'll probably make our light bill a little bit lower than it normally would have been. Hey, God somehow, He won't owe no man. He will give you what's rightfully yours, my friend. He said, "I'll give to you what's rightfully yours." I'm just telling us, God has stuck us this week between a blessing and a curse. This week, church, here I said all that to say this. This is all the messages tonight. God's given us a week to get us revived on winning souls and visiting the lost and building God's people up. If we do what God wants, God will bless. If we just keep sitting by and saying we'll let somebody else worry about it, we'll let somebody else do what I should be doing, God said, "I have to curse you. I have to withdraw my blessings, my hand, my power from your lives and give it to somebody else." You remember the parable about the talents? God gave one man, He gave Brother David 5 talents. He gave Brother Jim 2 talents. And He gave me 1 talent talking about money. Hey, brother David invested his money and gained 5 more talents. When the master come back, David said, "Hey, with your 5, I gained 5. Here's a 10. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That has been faithful over little, thou shalt be faithful over very much." Brother Jim said, "Hey, here's my 2 talents you gave me. I've gained 2 more talents. Here's the 4 talents." He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That has been faithful over very little, thou shalt be faithful over much." How come to him with the 1 talent and said, "Hey, I know you was a scared man, a hard man. I took your 1 talent, I wrapped it up in a napkin, and I hid it in the ground because I didn't want to lose it." He said, "You wicked and unjust servant." You know what he done? He took that 1 talent away from him that had 1 and gave it to him that had 10.
If we don't do what God wants us to do, why should God bless us? Why should God give us power? Why should God do what only God can do when we're not going to use it for God? You know what God would do? God would take all that from us and give it to someone else. Give it to someone else. Give it to another church. Give it to another preacher. Give it to another leader. Give it to another member. Give it to someone else. He said, if you're not going to use it, I will have it used because I'm going to give it to someone else. We're stuck between a blessing and a curse. What are you going to choose for yourself? You going to follow God and get His blessings? Or are you going to just keep living the same old life and be cursed? You know what? That's the choice you have to make. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing what I usually do. Pass out gospel tracts. Knock on doors. There's soul winning a visitation week that's coming up starting tomorrow. Hey, it's nothing new for me. I've been doing it since I've been saved. It's something natural. It's something I believe every Christian should do. But you're going to have to make a choice on what you're going to do. You want God's blessings? There's only one way to get it. And the Bible told us what to do. Let's pray together. Father, love you tonight. I thank you tonight. I'll be the first to admit tonight I'm not trying to scare, intimidate one person here tonight. Lord, but the Bible says if we'll follow thee and do what you said to do, that you will bless. But if we just sit idly by and let the world die and go to hell, and not care about it, there's no way you'll bless us. Well, God, I pray, you might not be able to bless everyone in church, but I pray, God, these people this week who's going to decide to serve the Lord and be a faithful witness, God, that you'll bless them in such a way that everybody around them will see it. God, I pray you'll bless them in such a way that when they come to church, that we know they've been with Jesus and that your power, your blessings is evidence in their life. Lord, help us tonight to choose between this blessing and this curse. We know what we have to do to receive the blessing. Help us to be diligently, with painstaking efforts, searching the will of God for our lives and do it. Walking your ways. Love you with all of our hearts and cleave unto thee. Lord, I thank you. I love you tonight. Pray, God, you'll bless the time of invitation now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. The invitation begins. The altar is open. You might not make a choice tonight, but you'll make a choice sometime this week. Either to follow God or to follow another God. Either to follow the Lord God Almighty that's sitting in heaven tonight watching our every move, or follow some other God. Maybe a job, maybe a career, maybe your flesh. But you choose this day whom you will serve. If you want the blessings of God, I suggest you get on board. If you want God's power, I suggest you be involved. Whether we like it or not, we'll make a decision this week. Some people say, well, preacher, I won't come, so I won't hear the messages, so I don't have to make a decision. Well, you've already made one. You've already made a decision not to follow after God and do what God wants us to do. I'm not saying everybody should meet out here on Tuesday nights. Some people's got to work. Mamas has got to cook for their families and
help do homework and everything else. But I'm saying to be a faithful witness every time God gives you opportunity. Every time you go to a store. Every time you encounter somebody. If the only time you ever go visiting is on Tuesday night, you probably don't visit at all. I'm talking about get on board and just say, hey, I'm going to go visiting. I'm going to be a witness for God. I'm going to pass out tracts. I'm going to invite people to church. I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ. You have to make a decision like that this week. Every one of us. From the youngest one here that understands to the oldest member we have, you have to make a decision. Whether or not you're going to be obedient to the Lord, or are you going to serve another God? Father, we love you. We thank you. I pray for these around the altar tonight. God, that you'll help us. Lord, we need thy help. Lord God, we want your blessing in our lives. And I believe this Christian life, these obligations you've given to us is reasonable. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. God is not asking too much of us to give ourselves to thee if we just stop and think about what you've done for us. Lord, help us to be a true witness for Jesus Christ. God, help us to be so conscious of others that we'll know, God, of those who's around us, that we'll be aware of those who's lost, that we can be a witness to them. Well, God, you saved us for that one reason. You've not saved us just to go to heaven, but you saved us to tell others about you. Lord, I thank you that we have that privilege of telling others about Jesus Christ. I pray, God, this week you'll help and bless. God, that we'll choose the blessings of God in our lives. That, God, this week will be a turnaround for our church. God, that this week would kindle a fire in our hearts that will last for time and for eternity. God, that members will get on board and be involved and do what you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you. And I pray, God, we'll step out of the way and allow you to help us.